The Laws of Reality Discussion. Probably the best explanation and support for these laws is voiced by those that refer to personal reality and the laws that are quite apparent. These are not idle postulation. They are what we actually know while we await discoveries to the contrary, which, it may be noted, will never happen. They provide a third educational perspective beyond the basic two, being theology and evolution. Repetition and redundancy abound in these so-called laws. Perhaps there could be 100 or just 3, but they are primarily observations derived from the discovery of anti-theory, not to be confused with antimatter theory. They are followed by entitic science and non-real entitic science, equally plagued by an underlying oxymoronic quality. Nonetheless, they stand as the distilled result of simple thought that has taken the author some 40-plus years to develop, beginning in his late teens. Since they are not based on theory or theology, they are heresy in its purest form and very unlikely to be accepted by a world scientific community that relies on mathematics, comparative examples, and material evolution to create its theories. These laws will no doubt be proven to be as close as one can get to the explanation of everything as we know it, but are so simple and obvious that mainstream science will brand them as philosophical dogma that has been previously stated elsewhere by multitudes of others since written history began. These are the notes on each. The laws are not numbered in the normal lists because of their transience, and the previous versions can be found in the previous versions area. But a reference number is placed at the end of each of these for the notes, and also there is no attempt to put them in any particular order since they are just designed to provoke an alternative thought process. Number one, the first, or I should say the worst only, the word only has been removed from the first law, and it's also used as the first law of entitic science. Number two, the utter elasticity of all things, including time, is proven simply by the fact that nothing can remain in any fixed state for even a second, although it may appear to do so. Time is conceptual, and even our best scientists have no idea what time it actually is. Our clocks are based on mean time, and in our reality an hour can pass very rapidly, and a minute can seem to go on forever. The third law shows through its evolution from the earliest versions that it's difficult to assign the ability to psychoprojection to only humans. This is quite less than absolute, unlike the other laws. The fourth law was added in version 5 in this place to preserve the poetic order, and the numbers only refer to this page of notes. If you look around you, you will see that you were within a globe of apparency and not standing on one as the scientists would have you believe. In space, the Earth may seem to be a globe, but is actually a disk at the edge of your own sphere of reality. The fifth is a direct reference to the inability of DNA to explain things like specific facial heredity and instinct. Universal in this case means the world. The sixth is another reference to time, considered by mainstream science to be a dimension, which it is not, and a reference to the idea that things began, which they did not. Again, you're reminded that these statements must be considered true until such times as they might be replaced by proof of else. The seventh is a direct broadside on the idea that we were somehow derived from unthinking matter by its own magical volition, and also that matter will somehow outlast us. The eighth is the fundamental paradox law, and simply means that if you start with nothing, you must maintain that condition. Things cannot be created when you have nothing to create them with, or rather out of. The ninth is a continuation of the seventh and eighth laws, and primarily conceptual and argumentative. It means that we, in our thought processes, think we exist but do not, said in a more eloquent manner. This could also represent the actual truth to the enigmatic cosmological constant that physicists are wrestling with. The tenth is largely a redundant addition to laws 7, 8, and 9, but is designed to show the relation of things like a supernova or a personal conversation to the distinct lack of matter. In the 11th law, appreciates means creates, and is truly poetic, but displays more redundancy. The 12th law is the most beautiful of all, poetically speaking, and simply drives home the common theme that the stars aren't really there, nor are we. Namron Sor.